Christy. Thank you so much, Katie. You know, we are Katie Christy. Okay, whatever. Whatever. It was the song that mattered. It was the song that mattered. Oh, well, that was just so powerful. You know, we're so grateful for our leadership, for our healthcare officials, for our researchers, for our medical providers and community and the government that is seeking to lead us in this time of crisis. But we can press on because of Jesus Christ. Our confidence is in Him. Our hope is in Him. How thankful we are, Christy, for that beautiful testimony. I hope you have your Bibles with you there by the radio, and will turn with me this morning to the 9th chapter of Hebrews. Read a few verses beginning in verse 11. Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Will you pray with me? Father, how thankful we are for the reminder and for this special Easter season when we celebrate not just this day of your resurrection, but because of what you did on the cross for us. Unlike the priest and the worship of the tabernacle, the sacrifices that were offered time and time again, year after year, You entered once and for all into that holy place and shed your blood as our sinless Savior on our behalf, that we might be cleansed of our sin, that we might live to serve you. And I pray that we would renew our commitment, our praise, our gratification for your grace and what you have done for us. Amen. Well, you don't hear a lot about the blood. It's something I think we have an aversion to. Some people get rather faint at the shedding of blood and seeing blood flowing from an injury. And we see a lot of just violence and blood and gore on our televisions and in movies, and it's something that we kind of recoil from because it implies suffering and it's kind of a grisly implication of death and dying. But we need to see the blood of Jesus more than just a matter-of-fact aspect of His death on the cross. Our theoretical spiritual explanation for the redemption that we can experience and realize how precious is the blood of Jesus. In traveling around the world, it's interesting to see that most religious people somehow are inclined to make sacrifices in order to appease whatever their concept of God and how to avoid and repel the evil and misfortune coming to them. I remember traveling throughout India and with a group of pastors going to the Kali temple where a black multi-headed goddess of Calcutta is worshipped. And there amidst the thronging, congested crowds of burning incense and clanging bells, the crowds were congested around this temple, and we would see people bringing a goat and slicing its throat, and then the pilgrims rushing in to dip their finger in the blood and press it to their foreheads, believing that it would give them salvation and hope of eternal life. not knowing that it wasn't by the blood of goats and calves, but only by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ can we be saved. Living in Muslim countries for many years, we became accustomed with the feast of Eid al-Adha, a time when the Muslims will gather and they will sacrifice the more well-to-do people, a bullock, a cow, the poor people, a goat. But before slitting its throat and shedding its blood, all of the male members of the extended family would lay their hands on the head of the bull or the goat. They would write the names of members of the family who were not there. And in a symbol of releasing their sins for another year, then they would kill the bullock and the blood would flow. In the little villages and towns where we lived and traveled on that particular day, literally the ditches along the side of the pathway and the roads were literally flooding with blood. And you're reminded of, obviously, the influence of the Jewish people in the Middle East for generations and literally for centuries that they observed the Feast of Atonement and shedding the blood of a sacrifice in order to atone for their sins once a year. You walk through African villages and it's not unusual to see a chicken who has been cut hanging from a door, a front door, and the blood dripping down. In some sense, believing that in the shedding of blood, there's protection, there's salvation. The needs of a family are met. There's protection against evil. And why do people have such an inclination? Because there's something about the blood that represents life. That the heart pumping blood throughout our body is essential to life. And the loss of blood is critical. It's not an injury or a gunshot wound that from which people die, but usually the loss of blood, because the blood symbolizes life. Well, what this is all about from a scriptural perspective is, how can a sinful man be reconciled to a holy God? How can we be restored to a relationship, an eternal relationship with God? There's the necessity of removing that sin. That sin nature must be done away with. That the covering over of one's sins, the cleansing of sin, is necessary for us to stand as righteous and justified before God. And the Bible tells us that that sin must be dealt with in Romans 3:23, that the wages of sin is death, a literal death separated from the one who is life. And it must be dealt with. And almost all religions entail the concept of sacrifice. Even throughout the Bible, we're not fully aware of this symbolism and what it's leading to until Christ came and died on the cross. But when Adam and Eve sinned, God killed an animal to provide clothing for them, but the blood of the animal was shed. We remember the sacrifice of Cain and Abel, and Abel's was accepted because it was a blood sacrifice of a lamb. And even though Cain gave the first fruits of his crops, it kind of symbolized what we do in trying to give of our own means and do things of ourselves and even give an offering to God, but without the remorse and the repentance that shedding of blood and a death implies. And throughout the Old Testament, we find Noah giving a sacrifice, Abraham sacrificing, and the Isaac and Jacob, and in the temple and the tabernacles, the sacrifices being made. In fact, when Solomon's temple was dedicated, the scripture tells us that there were 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep that were sacrificed on that occasion. Now, I've been around folks, hunters, dressing deer, and used to go up to my grandmother's in North Mississippi on Thanksgiving, and if it was cold enough, there would always be a hog killing, and I can tell you, that was a bloody mess. But can you imagine 22,000 oxen being sacrificed, 120,000 sheep. You see, people understood the severity of sin. They understood the holiness of God. They understood the necessity of a life-giving sacrifice and shedding of blood to atone for their sins. And the need was not just for forgiveness, but to cover their sins for another year. But what the Scripture tells us in that new experience of the power to save, the power to get rid of that sin nature, in Hebrews, that is much more the blood of Christ, who offered himself because he was without sin, was able to cleanse us from all of those dead works and human efforts in striving to please God and restore a relationship with him. We used to sing much more frequently than we do these days about power in the blood and how precious is the blood of Jesus, but I want us to understand today what we celebrate in this Easter season. Yes, it's about the resurrection and the victory over sin and death, but it was preceded by death and the shedding of blood. The shedding not of our blood for our sins and paying that penalty of death, but the blood of a sinless Savior, Jesus Christ. And so what is the power in the blood? What is that all about? Well, in 1 John 2:1-2, we read that it was for the propitiation of our sins. My little children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. We probably don't use that word propitiation in a normal conversation from day to day, but it's a picture that is very significant and meaningful. It actually means to be covered over, to be laid over our sin so that it is no longer visible. It is no longer seen. It is there. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And when he laid our sins upon the body of Jesus Christ and his blood was shed, it became a propitiation that covered over our sins. It's amazing how God hates sin. But rather than laying it on us, he took it upon himself. And this was God's plan even before the creation of the world. I've had many people in discussion ask, well, knowing the sinfulness of man and the rebellion against God and the worldliness that would entail, why did God go ahead with creation? Because he loved us. He desired fellowship with us. In fact, he even went so far as to create us in his own image and perceive of a solution that would enable us to be restored and live in fellowship with him. As expressed in Revelation 13:8, that plan was the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. Well, we celebrate on Easter Sunday, a scarce 2,000 years plus a little more before, was conceived in the heart and mind of God even before the foundation of the world, that one would come to cover over our sins and to deliver us from sins and be the propitiation. It's the power of the blood of Jesus. But also the power of the blood is in the power to forgive. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace." You see, when the blood of Jesus, the sinless blood of Jesus, was shed to pay the penalty of our sins, it released the riches of God's grace to flow into our heart to forgive us of our transgressions before the Lord. You know, sometimes as we struggle with sin and our daily walk and time tilting more toward worldliness than holiness, that sometimes we don't feel forgiven because we realize we don't deserve the forgiveness of God. And this is what makes grace so beautiful and so wonderful. We don't deserve it, but it became a reality when the blood of Jesus began to flow. Not only that, but there's power to justify us before God. How can we stand just before a righteous God and a holy God? No need to worry about judgment. In Romans 5, 9, the scripture tells us that 5, 8, and 9, that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now notice the next verse. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. You see, it's the blood that justifies us, that makes us righteous and justice before God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 states it, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that an awesome contrast? The one who knew no sin became our sin. For what purpose? So that we who were sinful might now stand righteous before God. In our mission classes, we've been studying a section about what God has done to reveal himself to people that do not know him and have never heard the gospel. A missionary by the name of Don Richardson has written a book, Eternity in Their Hearts, to illustrate how in many cultures there's a redemptive analogy in their mythology and their history that symbolizes, that helps them to understand when they hear and understand the gospel. And one of those illustrations was a Chinese character. Now you can picture, you've seen Chinese writing, looks like a bunch of scratchings, and how could anyone make sense and see words and word pictures and all of that. But the word for righteousness in the Chinese language. Now remember, this is a language that was created thousands of years ago, was in existence before even the time of Christ. But the word righteousness is the stroke that means blood over the strokes that symbolize a man. Isn't that remarkable? Blood over a man, covering his sin. The blood that is a propitiation and covering over the sin of man. But that's the power in the blood of Jesus to cover our sins, to forgive us of our sins, to justify us before God, and to cleanse us from sins. It's not just in that moment of salvation that everything that we've done wrong to that point is now forgiven and cleansed. No, but he cleansed our consciousness from dead works to serve the living God. You see, we are cleansed into a new life to serve God, not trying to follow our own reasoning, our own conscience from dead works. It's not through the efforts of what we do, even all of the ritual and worship and serving God and being good to evers is just dead works in the sight of God, until our sins are removed by the blood of Christ. Another demonstration of the power of God is the fact that it gives us access to God, that we can walk in fellowship with him. There's no longer that veil of separation between God and man. In Hebrews chapter 10, is still there in the book of Hebrews, over in chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. You see, up into that moment, only the high priest could enter the holy place. And only once a year, when he offered the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement for the sins of Israel, for the sins of God's people. But you remember when Christ died on the cross and the blood began to be shed from that crown of thorns and from the nail in his hands, that the veil was split, opening the way to God for those who would believe and to come through him. But also the power of the blood is what provides us eternal life. In fact, it's a beautiful picture in the last chapter of the Bible in Revelation 22 that defines us and pictured us as wearing robes that are washed white and pure by the blood of Christ. How can we stand pure and have the assurance of living for all eternity? It's because of the power of the blood. You see, of all the religions of the world, the people that are striving for God, and the diversity of worship and beliefs and the nature of the gods that are being worshiped. And so many say, well, this is their culture, and this is what has been revealed to them, and all roads lead to God, that we're all striving for the same goal. But Christianity is the only religion that deals with the problem of sin. Every other religion is still dependent on human effort, on dead works of what people are trying to do. And it may be ethically pure, it may be sincere, it may be in service to others, it may be in dedication of one's life, vows of poverty, fasting, whatever they may do in worship of the Lord, but none of that can remove the sin from our life. And the only reason that we know that our sins are forgiven is because God has done something in taking the initiative, and it's not in the efforts of man, in Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And not only is Christianity the only religion that provides a solution for sin, because it's God that takes the initiative in providing that solution, but it's the only religion in which man can enter into a personal relationship and fellowship with God. And it's all because of the blood of Christ. But let's go back for what Easter is all about. In the 12th chapter of Exodus, we read about the initiation of the Passover of the children of Israel as they were preparing to leave Egypt. And in the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families, and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and would not allow the destroyer to come into your house and to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children shall say to you, what does this rite mean? You shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. and the people bowed low and worshiped. You see, the week that Jesus entered Jerusalem and gathered with his disciples, on that Thursday, Last Supper, it was the feast of the Passover, which had been propagated and continued throughout the generations and throughout the ages and the centuries to be a remembrance of when a blood of a lamb was sacrificed, and the blood was passed over the door, put over the door, which meant deliverance and salvation for the people of Israel. The lamb, the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, it goes back to that Passover, when Jesus became the ultimate Passover lamb and was introduced as the Lamb of God to fulfill that same purpose of delivering his people from their sins. When we were serving in Indonesia, we had a very significant ministry through our Kediri Baptist Hospital in East Java. And as we were seeking to expand into other areas of Indonesia, some more fanatically dominated by fanatical Muslims, we realized that a hospital ministry in an area where there was a dearth of adequate health care would be an open door to the people of the community. And we got permission from the government to establish a hospital on the island of Sumatra, in a very remote area, but they said because of the strong Islamic population there, they said that we would not be allowed to use any kind of Christian name or symbol. We could not call it a Baptist or a Christian hospital. Well, our folks began to kind of negotiate and said, we would like to name it Emmanuel Hospital. Would that be okay? Well, they said, okay, it's not Baptist, not Christian, so we can name it Emmanuel Hospital, not knowing that Emmanuel was a name for God, meaning God is with us. Well, not being able to have any scripture or Christian symbol externally or in the building of the hospital, as the hospital was being dedicated, our administrator, Dr. Wynn Applewhite, gathered the staff, doctors, several people visiting from churches around the country to dedicate it. And he had a bucket of red paint. And he told the story of the Passover from the book of Exodus, of the children of Israel putting the blood on the doorpost of their houses. And he said, I want us to paint the door frame of our hospital with this red paint. And all of us who enter in will know what it symbolizes, the protection, the salvation, the blessings of God being with us. I once heard a country song that I'll never forget about this occasion when, for the first time, an unlikely event of slaughtering the lamb, of eating the unleavened bread, of putting the blood over the doorpost, all kind of perplexing and confusing to the children who didn't realize what was going on and all of the stir and the hurrying and everything. And as the father tried to explain that the Lord would provide protection for them for the blood over the doorpost. But as that night proceeded and they could hear the storm and the wails of the death angel moving through the Egyptian homes, and obviously, with the wind and the storm blowing and the rains coming, a child began to cry and ask his father, is the blood still there? Is the blood still there? And as the song portrayed it, he would respond, yes, the blood's still there. The wind and the rain cannot wipe it away because the blood is still there. And that is our protection. When Jesus was sacrificed on the cross, the blood flowed from his hands and his feet, from his back, from the thorns on his head. It flowed and dripped to the ground and has continued to flow through the centuries. has flowed around the world as the gospel has been proclaimed in Africa, in Asia, in Europe, and Latin America. It's flowed down through the ages, and it touched me, and it touched you. When we came to understand that Jesus had died for us, and we placed our faith and our hope in Him, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that saved us, that cleansed us from our sins, that covered over that sin nature, that made us righteous and justified before God, that restored us into an eternal fellowship with God. Isaiah said, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." Are you under the blood today? As we celebrate Easter and recognize the death, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, His being buried in the tomb, and then raised again on the third day in victory over sin. Has the blood touched your heart and your life? Have you allowed the blood to cleanse you from that sin nature, to bring forgiveness, to bring cleansing, to justify you, that you might stand righteous before God and have eternal life? If not, the blood's still there. As the child cried out in that Egyptian bondage in that home, yes, the blood is still there. It's never been washed away. It's never been removed. And it was shed for you, even though it was a long time ago. It's still effective to bring healing and forgiveness for your sins. Romans 5 says, "Having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him." If you've never turned away from your own efforts, from your own futile works, to live a good life, to be pleasing to God, to be acceptable to Him, however effective it may be, it cannot remove the sin from your life. Only the power of the blood of Jesus can cleanse you from sin. Will you trust Him today as your Savior? Would you believe on Him and accept what He has done for you? And through repentance and faith, come to Jesus Christ and be restored to a relationship with God, a relationship that is eternal, so that one day you too might don those robes of white that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, considered cleansed and justified before God. And for those of us that know that we have been saved by the blood of Christ, and how much we appreciate the love that was expressed in Christ taking our sins upon Himself, that we could enjoy the new life, redeemed, fellowship with God as His children. Will we use this Easter season to be reminded of the price, of the cost, of what it took for us to come to God? The shedding of the blood of our Savior. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are that You did for us what we could not do for ourselves. How we faced an eternity of death and separation from You until Christ died and shed His blood to cover our sins and bring forgiveness and redemption. May this Easter time be a time of rededication and renewal for each of us to walk with You, to realize that we've been cleansed from dead works to serve You and to glorify Your name. But for those that have never trusted Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that in the quietness of their own heart, sheltered in their own homes, isolated from a busy and hectic society, but just in these moments realize there's room at the cross for you He's still waiting for you to come. His blood was shed for you. Believe it and accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you meditate now for a few moments and allow Christ to speak to your heart? There's room at the cross for you.
As we leave now from our time of worship, I pray that this week that you will turn to God, that you will look to Him for these different answers that you need in your life. What's going to be going on? How can I continue to stay focused through this time where some of you may be out of work, some of you may have too much work? I pray that whatever is going on in your life, that you turn to God for your answers. And if you don't hear from Him immediately, trust me, there's a whole book with a lot more answers than you're going to hear in just your one-time prayer. Seek Him every day. Read His Word. I want to remind everyone that we are still accepting any type of offerings that you would like to give during this time to Trinity. You can drop them in the door, bring them by the office. If you see my car, come on in. Don't shake my hand, but just